one at a time? Just stop and think about that. As Monica was saying, we think we have problems. And yeah, we do, but we have way more blessings than we realize. A lot of blessings right here this morning, too. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 8. In my personal scripture reading several weeks ago, I think it could have been a couple months ago, this story caught my eye. And I always enjoy when I find something in my personal devotions that the Lord teaches me, and then I can share that with you. It makes it more real to me, and hopefully it makes it real to you as well. If you have Mark chapter 8, our text is verses 13 to 21, but before we read our text, I want to give you a brief history and context of what's leading up to the passage we're going to read, and you can kind of glance through this passage, and probably most of you know this well, I'm assuming. But leading up to verse 13, we have yet again where Jesus notices a large group of people that need fed. And we have the story of the feeding of the 4,000. And it's not as popular of a story. Maybe the word 4,000 isn't quite as impressive as 5,000, and maybe because there's a little boy's lunch involved in the 5,000, it has garnered more attention. But this story is no less impressive than the first one. And it's no less sensational. It was very miraculous. Jesus says, how much food you have, and they have these 7 loaves of bread and several fish. We don't know how many fish. And Jesus takes that and he feeds 4,000 people and they have 7 baskets of food left over. My take back on that story, as compared to the 5,000 with 12 baskets of food left over, I think the 4,000 were more healthy eaters. Like they could put away more. It's probably what, that's my assumption. But also important to note that directly after this story, the Pharisees say, "We want to see a sign from you." Which is really stupid because they just did, right? Unless they weren't there to see it. And what's really happening is they want him to prove that he's Messiah by showing some sort of miracle, ultimately hoping that he'd fall flat on his face and fail and they could make an idiot out of him and destroy his reputation. Of course, Jesus didn't fall for that and their plan didn't succeed. But that's the context of the story, and it's important to note those two events. The feeding of the 4,000 and the Pharisees wanting a sign. So let's start reading in verse 13, Mark 8, 13. "And he, Jesus, left them, getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, 'Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod.' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'Is it because we have no bread?' But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, 'Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Or having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up?' And they said to him, 12. Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets of full fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. So he said to them, 'How is it that you don't understand?'" And I'm going to stop there. And I'm going to start this morning by talking about missing the point. Jesus was trying to teach his disciples something based on what the Pharisees had just done. They had tried to trick him. And he wanted to use that as a teachable moment for his followers, but they missed the point because they were focused on something else. I want to work through verses 13 through 16 here for a little bit, but I want to come back to verse 15 at the very end and address what Jesus was ultimately trying to teach his disciples here. And let me reread. I'm not going to read it all, but just glance over some of these previous verses. He got into the boat, went to the other side, and verse 14 says the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they didn't have more than one loaf with them in the boat. I don't know about you, but this caught my attention. Like, why? Why didn't they have more food? Didn't they just pick up 7 baskets of leftovers? I mean, surely someone would have thought to pack a lunch. I mean, that makes me wonder. Maybe the crowd took it with them, you know, like after we have our meals, if we have the picnic, we have a bunch of hamburgers left over, we pack it up and divvy it out to people. Maybe that's what they did. I don't know. But then verse 15, and that's what we're going to look at the end, but he said, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And here's where Jesus was really trying to teach them something based off the character and behavior of the Pharisees and also Herod, because it was right around this time, probably several months, I'm not sure the exact timeline, before this event, that Herod had John the Baptist beheaded because his wife had some evil idea that she wanted fulfilled. But like I said, I want to come back to that verse 15, but we'll do that at the end. But for now, I want to show you how they were distracted from a bigger problem with something that really wasn't that big of a deal. As soon as Jesus said the word leaven, the disciples immediately thought he was scolding them for not bringing more food. They completely overlooked the main point Jesus was trying to make. And in verse 16, you see that. They reasoned among themselves, saying, "Is it because we have no bread?" So many times we focus on something that catches our attention, but we're really missing the bigger picture. And I spoke about that several months ago, if some of you remember, about the story of the landowner and the workers he hired at different times of the day. And, you know, there was the controversy. Well, you hired them and they get the same and it's not fair. But we missed the whole point of the story, which is about the kingdom of heaven. And instead, we're focused about the unjust hiring and, you know, all that. This is exactly what's happening with the disciples here. Jesus was trying to teach them something, but they were distracted. And I'm going to tell you, this is exactly how the conversation with the disciples went when they thought Jesus was scolding them. Peter tells John, "I told you to bring leftovers. Didn't I tell you that? You never listened to me." And John's like, "Yeah, but Andrew was supposed to stop at Martin's and get some rolls on the way, but he said his camel had a flat, and I think he's just making excuses. It's not my fault when people don't carry through. And Andrew's just, you guys, your brains are so small. They roll around on the head of a pin like a BB on a 6-lane highway." Catch that? Okay. But Scripture doesn't clearly say what was happening. But I'm pretty sure that even though it says a brief snippet of what, I can just imagine these guys arguing like little kids. I mean, I have brothers, and I'm pretty sure that's what we would have done. It's not my fault. You didn't bring food. But the point I want to make is, and like I said, I had a whole sermon here a couple months ago on this, but we need to be careful to not allow something to distract us from what God is trying to show us. There is so much stuff, I mean, boatloads of stuff out there right now, that we can be so distracted, and we have to keep our guard up because Satan is wanting so bad to get us distracted from growing closer to Christ. And now I want to share with you how Jesus handled their distraction and used it then to teach them a completely different lesson from what he intended from the start. Jesus' gentle reminder about weak faith. We know his disciples got distracted, but I want to show you how quickly Jesus addressed it. How many times do we get focused on the wrong thing and something, somehow, in some way or another, Jesus brings us back to where he needs us to be and wakes us up to what he's trying to show us. And I find it very interesting here that Jesus didn't immediately bring his disciples back to his original point that he was trying to teach them, but he realized there was something else the disciples needed to learn right then and there, and he gently dealt with it. And if you look back in verse 17, and I'm not going to read them all, but you see the conversation. "Don't you get it? Don't you understand? You have eyes, don't you see? You have ears, don't you hear? And you can't remember what was done? You know, I fed 5,000 and you got 12 baskets full and we only had 5 loaves of bread. And then we just fed 4,000 and started with 7 loaves of bread and 7 baskets. So how is it that you don't understand?" And I almost hear the sadness in Jesus' voice because he's basically saying, "You're distracted from my main point because you're focusing on what you don't have, and you're lacking faith in my power, the provision I have. They have Jesus right with them, and he just fed 4,000 people. And assuming there were 12 disciples there, that's 13 people to feed. You know, couldn't Jesus have taken care of that? And he was saying, you're focusing more on your material needs instead of your faith in me. And I really think there's two lessons to be learned here. First, we can become so quickly distracted with stuff that really doesn't matter in light of eternity. And I realize I spoke about this several weeks ago, but I just feel it's so important. We're bombarded one after the other with chaos and fear and news articles. If you look at one, and I purposely do this actually. I don't follow the news that closely, but occasionally I will get on. I'll do Fox News, which they say is the most conservative. I'm not sure anymore. And then I'll do CNN, because they say that's the most liberal. And I figure between the two, you might get somewhat of an idea of what's really happening, and I'm not sure if that's accurate or not. But it was interesting, just last night, they focused on different things. Like, Fox News was all about Afghanistan. CNN was about the hurricane. Like nothing other they're going to face. It's like, no, Sandy was way, way, way worse than this, but they're making this. I mean, it doesn't mean they're not in peril, but it's just we're so bombarded with all kinds of stuff. And Satan knows what we're interested in, what we can become distracted, and what our fears are, and he's going to use that. And he's working overtime to accomplish the mission of getting our eyes off of Christ. Each one of us has our own interests, and some of us might be more likely to be caught up in this thing or that thing and get distracted with what Jesus really wants us to be focused on. What are we to be doing as Christians? So we need to be constantly asking Jesus, help us maintain our focus on heaven, strain to reach that goal to win the prize. And the second lesson, and I think even the more prevalent one, is the lack of faith that the disciples had in Jesus. Jesus was really saddened. They missed his main point. They were distracted by their lack of faith in his provision. And they were worried about having enough food when Jesus had just fed 4,000 people with 7 loaves. Now, they had 1 loaf of bread, and here's what I just find interesting. They say about that. It could have been more, but they think they had about 1 loaf of bread. And like I said, assuming all 12 disciples were there, that's 13 people, assuming just 13 were on the boat. So that's 1 loaf of bread to 13 people. That ratio is a lot smaller than 7 loaves to 4,000 people. And I think Jesus could have handled that. Yet the disciples didn't even consider that as an option. They're immediately worried they didn't have enough food. And that's typical. That's typical of us as humans. I mean, we can apply that to us right now. Jesus is right here with us all the time, yet we still struggle to trust him. And we try to figure things out on our own and rely on our own strength. Oh yeah, I didn't pray about that. Have you ever done that? Wonder how that makes Jesus feel. Like, hey, I'm right here. Don't allow stuff to get in the way and distract you. Talk to me. Tell me about what you're going through. Let me walk with you in this. And I think we need to cry out to Jesus just like that father did when he wanted Jesus to heal his daughter. And he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And that's really what we're up against all the time. I feel like, Lord, I know you can do it, but help me believe you can. Does that make any sense? Jesus knows our weaknesses, and we just need to tell him, hey, I'm weak. I need you to help me. Help my faith in you not to become weakened simply because of all the craziness that's going around. Help me not to be distracted. And I love how humanity isn't hidden in Scripture. I love how the human side of these people come out, and the disciples' human side really came out here. I just love that. And let's remember, we have a Savior and Shepherd that's walking with us, he's working with us, and let's go to him. Ask him to help us keep focused on our mission. And then, with that statement, that leads us to our third and last part. What is this little lump of leaven that Jesus was talking about? During the time that this was written, and I know some ladies, or I should say some people, because there might be some men to do it too, still use the practice of saving a little lump of sourdough, I'm assuming it's sourdough, but a little lump of dough to start their next batch of bread. But back in that day, that was vital. You needed to save that little lump and save that for the next batch. And it was used in order that fermentation would occur, and they could use that for yeast for the next baking. And why does someone put yeast in their baking? Well, anyone with an ounce of knowledge in baking knows that it makes it grow and get more fluffy, and I guess this makes the bread take up more room. I don't know. But Jesus, again, was using this great word picture, and the disciples missed it. So look at verse 15. I want you to look at that. Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And in the Hebrew mind, this leaven came to symbolize the sinister and expanding influence of sin in the human heart. Do you think that sin is an issue today? Saying that tongue in cheek. Sin must have been a problem way back when, because when Satan first influenced Adam and Eve to sin, it seems like that's always been an issue. Jesus was telling his disciples that they needed to be careful about the leaven of the Pharisees, which was hypocrisy propagated by their teaching. They were critical, they were harsh, they were blind. They demanded Jesus a sign. They wanted him to show them a sign, while signs abounded everywhere. Look back at verse 11, which we didn't use that in our text, but if you look back with me here, the Pharisees came out and began a dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. And it's almost maddening to read that, because it's like they were asking for a sign, and Jesus called them blind many times. If they had just opened their eyes, spiritually for sure, but possibly even physically, they would have seen sign after sign after sign that Jesus was doing miracles all over the place. And Jesus would have shown his deity in a really real way. Yet because of the hardness of their hearts, they couldn't see it. They just allowed their own selfishness and their sin to grow like leaven and yeast in their hearts, to the point they tried to trap Jesus. I could go on for a long time about the Pharisees and Sadducees and how they are not unlike many people today, who wear this good persona on the outside, but inside they're fake. The same sin that has corrupted the Pharisees then, and the same sin that's corrupted the hardest person that you can think of, has also corrupted these types and has grown to the point where they can't get past looking good to please God. We need to be real people. We need to be real. Don't allow Pharisaical pride and hypocrisy to cause us to miss the truth that Jesus came to bring. Then Jesus also stated that we need to be careful about the leaven of Herod. It's interesting to note that if you were to cross-reference the Matthew and Luke and Mark accounts on this story, there were differences. Matthew states that Jesus warned against the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Mark states the Pharisees and the Herodians, or Herod. And Luke only says the Pharisees. And that's why it's important to read all the synoptic gospels and get a clear picture, because they all had their personalities and they saw different things. And you get a full picture of the life of Christ and what was happening. And these records are all accurate. All three of these groups is what Jesus was warning against: the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians. The reason that Jesus likely used Herod and the Herodians here is because Herod had just ordered the beheading of John the Baptist. It was probably pretty fresh on Jesus' mind. And bear in mind, he was human at this point, so he was probably still grieving the loss of his friend. Herodians were followers of Herod. The Herodians maintained this opinion that it was unlawful for the Jews to acknowledge a foreign prince. So they joined the Pharisees and the Sadducees in opposing the claims of Jesus. That was their mission. And the leaven of Herod that Jesus was talking about was this godless worldliness of a third-rate ruler who silenced John pretty effectively and would have destroyed Jesus. And Jesus called him that fox in Luke 13:32. Herod's pride and selfish desire was his own downfall. And I struggled, I kind of hesitated to share this because I don't want it to be inappropriate for church, but I try to use careful wording because I think it's important to know what actually happened to Herod. The demise of a man who lived a godless life and the result of his lifestyle choices, the kind of death that he died. He had a chronic kidney disease, which is complicated, they believe, by Ferniers, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, gangrene. And that's just a nice way of saying that he had gangrene of the genitalia that developed worms. And it's speculated also that he had gonorrhea. Now, that's absolutely horrifyingly disgusting. But Herod lived a sin-filled life, and Jesus was warning his disciples, be careful, lest you let sin fester in your hearts. Now, I didn't share those gruesome facts about Herod as a scare tactic because I don't believe that's the way Jesus worked. You don't scare people to Christ. But what I want to point out was the results of a life of sin and what sin can do to a person if let to fester. Where does sin start? It starts in the mind. And whenever Satan tempts us with a sinful thought and we let that sit there and fester, then we act on it and it just grows and grows and grows. Unless we ask Jesus to help us to snuff that out when it comes. If sin is let there, then it grows and it festers and we don't confess it, it will eventually control and consume our lives. And we see that in Herod. And that's why Jesus used Herod. He was a pretty prime example. That's why Jesus used leaven as the example. It reproduces, it grows, similar to mold. It just keeps growing. I think if anyone here has experienced the effects of sin in their life, even letting sin get the upper hand for a brief time or for a long time, you will say that it starts small, but it grows, and sometimes can grow out of control. So let's determine that when we're faced with sin, we deal with it with the help of Jesus. We ask him to stomp it out right now before it grows and gets out of control. Honestly, that subject right there could be a series sermon or a series of sermons. But let's not let sin grow in our hearts and grow to the point where it consumes us, like we see in Herod. So this was exciting to me to see this truth outlined in this passage like this. And what must it have been like to sit face to face with Jesus and have him teach something like that? They've been incredible. This story of Jesus and the word picture of leaven, even though it got derailed by the disciples' distraction, this whole thing, including the distraction, including the lesson learned, serves to show us so much. And I don't think it was an accident that the disciples were distracted and Jesus taught them another lesson, because there were several lessons to learn here. And I trust you were able to glean something from it like I did. Let's ask the Lord, please, keep me from being distracted from the truth of your word. Let's ask him to help us be stronger in our faith and trust him. And most important, let's ask him, please keep me from allowing sin to take root in my heart and grow and fester, because we don't want that to consume us. We want to make heaven our home. Let's bow for a word of closing prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for what you have provided for us and just the incredible opportunity we have to learn from you. We thank you for this story that you've so wisely given us in Scripture that we can learn from. And I pray that you'll help us each to determine that we're going to focus on you, not let the cares of this world distract us from what you're trying to do in our lives, and most of all, not let Satan give us reason to let sin take root in our hearts. Help us to, with your grace, stomp that out and live a life that's pleasing to you. Bless each one here today. Would you give them a good day in you and a good week as well? In your name we pray. Amen.